It is a blessing to be here with you all. We've heard some wonderful words of truth already this morning. It's been a blessing to just continue listening to what God had already been bringing. I was very blessed with the opening, and had been wondering how will God tie this together with what He has laid upon my heart, and we'll get into that a little later. But I think there's a connection that He is wanting us to make. I very much appreciated the opening already, so thank you very much for what you've shared. I would like to have a word of prayer before we begin. Do you all want to rise? Our great Father in heaven, as we bow before you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, for the blessed privilege and the opportunity that we have to hear your words expounded already unto us this morning. The singing, the lifting up of our voices to worship and praise you, Father, was very much an edification to my heart. And I do thank you, Father, for it. You are a God that has all riches. Lord, you have more than what we can even think or imagine. So this morning we thank you. Thank you, Father, for these words. We pray that you'd help us to not look to the riches of this world, look to the riches of Christ Jesus that are in Christ Jesus our Lord. They're the only ones that will stand the test of time. Father, I do pray that as we yet look into your word more, that you would help me to just be a vessel in your hands. Father, I want my own thoughts, my own agenda. I want that all aside, Lord. I just want your will to be done. We pray for your spirit to come and quicken your word. Father, many times your word can be preached, or many times we can hear your word. Unless your spirit comes and quickens, it is dead to us. And so we pray that you'd quicken the words to us this morning for your holy name's sake, for your kingdom. So, Father, just bless our time here together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When Brother Steve had called and asked if I would come and consider sharing, he asked if I would give a little bit of what our work was in Bolivia. Not sure, not going to spend a lot of time on that, but I will give a little bit of an update, or a little bit of some things that we were doing there. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, and maybe through the message there will be more. A number of years ago, Nicholas had been there for some time, and they were already there, and we were asked if we would consider helping with that mission, and so we did. We looked into it, and we have been doing some support, first through prayer and fasting, and then some financial, and through it all, we have a desire to do a church plant. But where we had started and where we are now is it's a different place. And the reason is there is a different view, as two different brothers were leading out there. There's a different view, and the things were just not going forward. And so we, as we were stepping in, couldn't ask anyone to leave. So we did the leaving and started a new area. So that's kind of where it's at. And there had been some difficulties there. And so the Lord laid it upon our heart as a family that we would just be there. And through the time of the church figuring some of these things out, looking into some of these things, just to be there to, to be a support to Nicholas's and so on. And so, with it being a church plant, we're also not necessarily going to be fully supported by the home congregation, and so there's also some things that we were looking at into as far as making a living. And we, as a family, were living on a little farm. I'm not sure how many acres it would be, but we were milking 3 cows. And they don't want their milk cold. They want their milk warm. And so when you get done milking, you head for town and you go sell it. And we had a four-wheeler where we wheeled our milk around in town, and we sold milk. And Saturday night and Sunday morning, Monday morning we made yogurt with, and we could usually had no problem selling it. But it was just a little different. They don't want cold milk. They want warm milk. Our upbringing varies so much from one place to the other. But anyway, we were looking at starting a little farm as far as looking for opportunities as far as supporting a family. But also, we had asked Cam about some Bible story books, the 101 Bible story books, and they donated us, I think, 5,000 Bible story books. And then COVID hit, so they're still all there. They didn't get to pass them out. So there's still a lot of opportunity and work there to be done. We did some touring and looked on how we could get into some schools to go pass out these Bible story books. And so we were heading the right direction. We just didn't have the books. And then the books came and schools were closed. So you can pray for all of that. And we did have, Nicholas had quite a few in town already. And we passed them out in town. And the young children are not the only ones that wanted them. Old man wanted them too. And we have a picture of an old man. I think he's 80 years old, 80 some years old. And he gets his book and he gets a chair and he walks across the street and he sits down in his chair and he starts reading this book. And through that, he came to the bookstore and bought himself a Bible and a songbook. First time in his life. So the gospel is still powerful, still changing lives. Now he's not changed, but there's a hunger there. There's a thirst there. There's something that he's desiring. So that is part of the church. There's no other members, but there's been some attendees and some people that are showing interest. And so it's just takes a lot of time. It's a little bit like our background. You don't go and share the gospel with them once or twice and expect them to be members of the church in the next year. It doesn't happen that way. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of time. So that's a little bit where we're at. So we're excited. I believe that God wants a church in Villasana, Bolivia, just like he does in Allen County, Indiana. So this morning, to get into the message, I wondered how God wants to tie this together. And I read, our brother was reading in Ephesians 3, and I read the next word of the next verse, and it says, wherefore. And so when there's a wherefore there, it's there for, there's something that is wrote before for us to consider, and then he's going to tell us something else. I desire that you faint not. Well, my message is not that you faint not, but I was in the prayer meeting this morning, and my brother also used the words that we press on. And that is where the burden of my heart is this morning, is Philippians, the third chapter, verse 14 is where the burden of my heart is, but I'm going to read verses 12 through 14. Not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, But I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So this morning, God's heart is that we don't faint. God's heart is that we press on. We haven't reached a goal. We haven't experienced all the riches that are in Christ Jesus. And so we keep on. We press on. So before I start, before I get into the main part of the message, I would like to lay a little foundation. And he starts chapter 3 by telling us to rejoice in the Lord. Then in verse 2, he has some bewares there. And then he talks about not having confidence in the flesh in verse 3. And he gives us all the reasons why he could have had confidence in the flesh, why he would have been the one that would, if there's anyone that should have had, was able to have confidence in his flesh, it would have been him. And he says, I put no confidence in the flesh. Sometimes we get the idea that we need to throw everything away that connects me to my past. And that is not what Paul is telling us. That is not God's heart. The things that are hindering us need to go. But the things that are good, the good values that we've been taught, we need to build upon them. I had to think of we could use this word pedigree here that Paul gives us. He gives us his pedigree. And most of the people here know what a pedigree is because we've know horses. And so, you know, a horse can never be converted. We all know that. But a horse with a very good pedigree is worth a lot more than a horse that would look identical, look the same, could do just as much work as any other horse, but because of his pedigree, he's worth more. And that is a little bit what Paul is telling us here. His pedigree, he was, according to the Israelite standard, he was on the top. And that's what he had. He had no confidence in that at all. You can't have confidence in who our parents are. We don't hear Paul trashing his values. The good values that he was taught. And sometimes, in our background as well, there can be two rebels. One rebel could be a rebel that comes from a family that has a good pedigree, and the other one from a rebel that a family that has no pedigree. And somehow the one with a good pedigree gets by with a lot more than the one that doesn't. But when we stand before God, that is not going to matter. That is not going to matter. Who I was, who my parents are, will not matter. It will matter only what God is doing in my heart, what he has made me, what all he has cleansed me from, and so on. It is all right for you children to be blessed with your parents and to honor them. But remember, when you stand before God, it will not matter who your parents are. God has no grandchildren. You have no confidence in the flesh. Then we come to verse 10, and I think it's a key verse in order to understand verse 14. It says that I might know him, talking about Jesus Christ, that I might know him. Now this know is not just to have knowledge of who God is, that who Jesus is, but it is to be resolved, to be sure, and to understand. And I had to think, most of you know what my wife's name is. Most of you know who she is. Most of you know some things about her. But most of you really don't know her like I know her. And why is that? Because I spend time with her. I live with her. And it's the same way with Jesus Christ. The only way that you will really get to know Jesus, like he is telling us here, that I might know him, is spending time with him. Spending time with him. This is what Paul is talking about, that I might know him. How do I get to know Jesus? You know, if we were to get together and have a discussion this afternoon, after lunch, about, we could pick any subject. Say we would talk about horses, since we've talked about horses. You know, my interest in horses will, the interest that I have about horses will depend on how much I participate in the discussion. How is it with Christ? How much do I know him? How much do I love him? Do I participate when things are being talked about Christ? Is that the things that make me tick? Paul says that I might know him. And it's not just having knowledge, but knowing him. Knowing him. What? How much I'm interested in the subject. And we can a lot of times hear, you know what interests me. You know what makes me tick by what things I say, by the things I do. And that's true for every one of us. You know, we can tell by what a man's interest is by what he's talking about, because it says what the mouth speak. What I can't quote it, but what is in the heart, the mouth speaketh. What is in the heart, the mouth speaketh. So this morning, we cannot fool. We will never fool God. We can fool ourselves, but we cannot fool God. That I might know him. Then he goes on and says, and the power of his resurrection. Now Paul here is not just trying to figure out how much power it took to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. That is not what he's talking about. The power of his resurrection. What is he talking about? It is talking about a life that is an overcoming life. And we heard a little bit about, something was mentioned about an overcoming life. You know, we read through Revelations and we read about the letters that were wrote to all the churches. And in every one of them, there's a promise given. But the only promise that was given for those that overcame him. It is the only life that has promise is the one who overcomes. And that is what he's talking about. The power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection. And then he goes on and says, and the fellowship of his suffering. Wow. There's none of us that like to suffer. The fellowship of his suffering. None of us like to suffer. We live in a country where nobody likes hardness at all. We're always looking for the easy way out. What is Paul talking about? The flesh likes it easy, but Paul must have seen the value of suffering. Suffering. And it says the fellowship of his suffering. Fellowship means partnership or in communion with. Wow. I mean, Christ, how did he suffer? He endured a tremendous amount. The fellowship of his suffering. Suffering is hardship, pain, and affliction. It can be through emotions, influence, or even physically. Peter has something to say about suffering as well. 1 Peter 4:1, he says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us, in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Somehow there's a connection there. When we suffer, when things are not going our way or as we think they should, it causes us to stay on our knees. It causes us to fall on our knees. So why suffer? To the Christian, it keeps us on our knees, the fellowship of his suffering. And then he goes on and says, being made conformable unto his death. And I don't know that I totally understand that. But in my mind, it is that my carnal man dies like Christ dies. Like Christ died. The old man must die, but what about the flesh? The desires of the flesh. They also have to die. Our flesh dares not to be in control. Jesus sweated blood drops as his flesh died. Not necessarily the physical, not when he died on the cross, but in the garden where the fight was really won. He sweat blood drops. The fight was not necessarily won on the cross. It was won on the cross. But it was won in the garden. That's where he overcame. And that's where you and I have to overcome. Sometimes, you know, if somebody holds a gun to our head, that is not necessarily where we overcome. We better overcome before then. Our flesh better be dead before that time. Because if we wait to that moment, we'll react in the wrong way. We have to be conformable unto his death. Jesus was in the flesh too, and he did not let it rain, but it had to die, being conformable unto his death. In verse 11, he tells us that if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. I believe this is the mark that Paul is talking about in verse 14, the mark of the high calling. If by any means I might obtain to the resurrection of the dead. There is an eternal death, and there's a resurrection from the dead. This is the reason for verse 10. A half-hearted Christian will not make it to the end. He just will not make it to the end. There's a pressing that has to go on. There's a fight that is going on. We're not going to coast in the glory. We're in a war. And if we think we can sit on the sidelines and be fine, we're already on the wrong side. Paul's saying, come what may, I'm headed for the mark. And the mark is Christ Jesus. You and I have a mark. We all have a goal. What is our goal? Now we can all say that Jesus is our goal. But we also said what is in the heart, the mouth speaketh. What is in our heart? Where is our goal? What are we heading for? Where are we aiming? What is your heart after? Paul's mark was that he would obtain the resurrection of the dead. And he goes on to verse 12, as we lay a foundation for verse 14. Not as though I have obtained already. Either was already perfect. He's not there yet. And that is, like we said earlier, I think is where the connection lies between the opening here and the message. We're not there. We haven't experienced all the riches of his glory. We're still going. We're not made perfect yet. I have not obtained, Paul says. I'm pressing on. Then he tells us, I follow after. And I'm not going to make very many comments right now on the few words. We'll come back to that. And then the word apprehend means a possession. It's a possession. It's to seize something. It's to obtain something. Now he's telling us, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now there's something that God, there's a calling that each one of you have, that God has specifically called you to do. I can't apprehend what God has apprehended you for, and neither can you apprehend what God has apprehended me for. We cannot do that. He has called us all to some specific calling in our lives. And that may grow if we're faithful in the little things that God has calls us to do. We all want the big thing, right? Well, God doesn't start with big things. If we're not faithful in little things, He will never give you anything big to do. Apprehend the things that God has apprehended us for. It is very important that we count our past as he did here. He says, I count it but dung, he says. I count it but dung. And it's very important that we do that. But we may not stop there. We have to build. We have to fight on. We have to press on. There's a goal. There's a prize. Like we heard this morning. There's a prize. You know, I can say that others could do a job better than myself. And that is true. I feel that way. But yet that does not take away from the calling that God has given you and I. You and I have a specific calling for each one of us. Each one of us has a specific calling, and we're all to fulfill that calling that God has given us. You can't fulfill mine, and I can't fulfill yours. Now, I did not feel like I was the one that should go to Bolivia, and yet God made it clear to us that we were to go. Does that sound proud? It can. But I tell you what, when you experience some of the things that we experienced, it didn't feel very proud then. You know, it was a year. If we would have seen all the challenges that God was to bring our way, I'm not sure that we could have handled it. But one at a time, He led us through them. And I'll just give you one. We had meetings planned for November, the end of November. We had Bill Heisey coming, and we had Alan and Jenny, and their whole family was coming. And there was an election, and it's a legal form, a legal way of protesting is throwing blockades. So the whole country was in blockades. It was in a turmoil. There was blockades everywhere. And they were telling us, or asking us, should we come or should we not come? Well, what do you tell them? You know, you can land, you can land at the airport, but I can't tell you that we're going to get you here. And yet, there's something that God kept telling us. That was, if you put your feet in the water, I will part it. It didn't make a bit of sense. And so they came, and the blockades were still in. And so my oldest son and I, as they were landing in Sucre the next morning, my oldest son and I, we felt obligated to go and see if we can at least meet them at the airport or see what we can do to get them and make their life comfortable in 4 hours from the house as much as we can if we can't get through. So we went and we took the truck an hour away. Hour up the mountain, and yep, the blockades are there. So we parked the truck at someone's place that we knew, and we just took off walking. This first blockade was probably a mile and a half long. I mean, there's stuff all over the road. There's thorn branches over the road. There's big rocks over the road. You know, the mountain is up here, and the road is here, and they just go up there, and they throw all kinds of stuff down. It's just, there's no vehicle going through. And so we walked the first one, and then in between the blockades, they have rides. They have the first two were moto. We each got on a moto. The first one and the second one, we got on the same one with both our backpacks. And anyway, we got to the second one, and or the third one there, and then there was some vehicles there, and we got in the vehicle. Anyway, we made it. We left the house at 1 or something in the afternoon, and we got there at around 11 or 11:30 at night, and that should normally only take 4 hours. So the next morning, we get to the airport, and we get our guests, and we head back into the big town, and now what should we do? What should we do?
It was kind of our responsibility in some way. We should have told him to stay home. But we also knew God wanted meetings. And so we were together, and Allen's had brought things for Nicholas's and us, and so they had quite a bit of luggage, and Dale and Suzanne didn't have a whole lot. So we were at the Sucre, we were there in Sucre at someone's house, and Dale was like, what are we going to do? And I said, well, Kevin and I are here to help with whatever, but it is not my decision. It is between you and Alan. Alan has a family. It's a small family, a bigger family, and small children and a big, I mean, there's a number of them, and Dale and Suzanne are in their 70s, and that their walk over these mountains, the walk, I don't know, we probably walked 10 miles, that, not 10 miles, 5 miles that first day across the block. And to think of 70-some years old in elevations of somewhere between 7,000 and 8,000 feet, it didn't look very appealing. So we had a prayer meeting, and I had told them before that I think that if God directs us to go, we're going to go as light as we can. We're going to leave the luggage, as much luggage here as we can. And so we had a prayer meeting, and right after we got up from praying, Dale said, if we're not going to do anything for ourselves, God is not going to do anything for us. And he said, so you want me to get a driver? And he says, yes. And so this was an evening, and the next morning, 8 o'clock or so, we were ready to head out. And as we were getting the driver, the people that we were staying with says, don't go. Things are going to get worse before they're going to get better. They're going to get worse. And so Dale just said, we need to go. God is going to provide a way. And so we get the vehicle lined up, and we head out of town. And I'm not sure how far out of town we were where the first blockade was. There was nothing there. I mean, it was all gone. And we got to the second one, and we get out of the vehicle, and it's what it is. You have a bunch of trash on the road, then you have where the people sit, and then you have more trash on the road. And so we got out and started walking, and the people were telling us, if you just hang on, the police are on the way, they're going to clear this thing up. And we decided we'd rather be on the other side than on this side. So we walked through the blockade and got in another vehicle, and away we went. We got to the third blockade, and we get out and walk through, and there's not a soul in sight. There's no one there. And so we walk across, and as we just crossed the blockade, and here comes the van that we just got out of, and says it's open the whole way. And so we got in, and remember what I said, that our message was from God. You put your feet in the water, you'll part. Now, we don't always, that's not always the message, but that was the message. And we were literally the first ones going through, going out, cleaning the brush off the way and the trash off the way so we can drive through. What I'm saying is, God has a calling on our lives. This was a real challenge to us. This was not something that just felt good. So God gives us, He provides as we are faithful. And we went the whole way through. We get back, Brother Dill says, you know what? He says, if we wouldn't have went, then blockades would still all be there. And he is 100% convinced. So what a little faith can do sometimes is more than the whole police force can do. So may we be found faithful to going after the things that God has for us to go after, to go possess the things that God has for us to possess. It can sound, at times it can sound like, okay, this is what God has given me to do. And we can feel like, oh, it's looking like I'm proud. Well, We can either do it or then not be faithful. So may God help us to be faithful of going after the things that He has called us to do. We're no more spiritual than the ones that stayed back at home. This experience did not make us more spiritual than the faithful ones that stayed at home. Our faithfulness is a gauge of our spirituality. You know, if God has called you to clean the kitchen and the bathrooms at the church, you'd be faithful. Might not sound like a very spiritual calling, but you be faithful. That's what God wants, is faithfulness. You think that doesn't sound spiritual? Well, if you're faithful, you're spiritual. So may God help us. Have we ever asked God what He has for us to possess? Or am I just going after my own ideas, my own agendas? Then on verse 13, He comes and He tells us, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." You know, there's callings that God gives us, and there's callings that we can fulfill, but there's always another calling that God gives us. Paul says, "I have not apprehended yet. I have not possessed everything that God has for me." And then comes verse 14 and tells us, "I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on towards that mark for the high calling in Christ Jesus. I still have breath. I need to continue on." Sometimes we like our brother's calling better, right? Sometimes my brother's calling looks more appealing to me than what the calling that God has given me. Well, that's not your calling. Somebody mentioned about the Israelites. Sometimes we're like the Israelites. We like what's back there. Yeah, we still got our eyes back here. Paul says, "I forget about the things that are behind, and I'm going this way. I'm going forward. I'm pressing on." Are the leeks and the onions, are they wrong? They're not necessarily wrong, but we're not going to hit the mark. We're not going to hit the mark if our eyes are back here. If we could in reality see the riches, the great things that God has in store for us, I think we would quit complaining and follow after. Many Christians can't say, like Paul, "Forgetting those things which are behind." So there they go in circles. They want what is ahead, but remembering the leeks and the onions. Although, and again, the leeks and the onions are not necessarily wrong. You know, one of the burdens that I have is Christ is coming back for a church that is pure, that is spotless, that is going to be without wrinkle, and it's not going to have any blemishes. Now the question I have, are the spots and the wrinkles, are them sin? I don't think that they're necessarily sin, but just some imperfections. God wants to continue to perfect us. You know, not all Christians that enter the kingdom will make it. They're not going to. We say we're not like the Baptists that believe that once we're saved, we're always saved, but yet we get closer to that than what we want to admit at times. There's a calling that God has for us. If we don't continue on, we're not going to make it. We're not. So we need to continue to press on. So another thing that happens at times is because I don't like the calling that God has placed on my life, is I get busy doing other good things. I get busy helping people. I get busy, we can go sing for people. We can, there's just a number of things that we can do. Witnessing. You know, it can sidetrack us. Even though they're good things, it can sidetrack us. Witnessing, there's absolutely nothing wrong with witnessing. There's nothing wrong with going singing for people. But is it the calling that God has placed on you at this time? And through this, we will witness. We will do the other things. They're good things to do, but we cannot forget what the
We have to go after the possession that God has for us. Then we come to verse 14, and it says, I press toward the mark, the high calling. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And the word press was recently opened up to me. This word is used 44 times in the New Testament. Does anyone know what it is used as mostly? Thirty-one times it's used in one form or another as persecute. 31 times out of the 44 times it's used as persecute. So we think of the word press, and that is kind of a strong word, but if you think of persecute, and it's the same word, I said we get back to it, but I follow after the same word, same Greek word, persecute. I'm going to turn to Acts chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. And we'll see it twice, one in each one of these verses. This is talking about Saul's conversion, which was later Paul who wrote Philippians. It says, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said unto them, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. That word persecuteth in them in verses 4 and verse 5 is the exact same word as I follow after and press. Now Paul in Philippians 3 is saying, I press. I follow after. No one is doing it to him. But he says, I press. I follow after. Press means to persecute, striving or pressing towards a goal with great intensity. How do we persecute ourselves to gain the prize? And I don't think that he's saying he's cutting himself and doing anything to his flesh. But I think if we would get a little phrase out of Hebrews 12, verse 1, let's run with patience and use that phrase there to understand the pressing part, I think would give us a better picture. Now let's imagine God in heaven is going to put on a great race. And we know he is. There is a race. But it's going to be a race. There's going to be a foot race. And you know, the better that we run, the better our dwelling will be in glory. What would you do? What are some things that you would do? What are some things I would do? I think we would all start exercising. I would watch my diet. And we would run as light as possible. And we would try to know the road, to understand the road that we're running on. You know, that some of that don't make as much sense here as it did in Bolivia. They had a bike race, and it went right past the house where we were living at. And most of you would not even ever consider driving a bike down there, but there's a bike race going through there. And so they had people that were going past there that they wanted to know about the road. And that's good for you and I to do as well. We all get to run individually, and yet we are on teams. Now suppose on your team you had one of your members that would come and he would have big old boots on. He'd come to the race with big old boots. And he'd have his pockets weighed down with stones. And he'd have baggy clothes or clothes that were way too tight for running. And what would we do? We wouldn't tell him anything, would we?
Why is that race, why in a foot race would we be allowed to say more than the race that is the spiritual race that we're running together? Why? I don't get it. By telling him something, we say that, well, it's works. Well, be what it may, we're going to be judged by our works, not by our faith. Paul said, I press. I do the things, I do godly exercises, I press. I do things, I exercise certain things in life, and there's certain things that I do not do because I'm on a race. I press. Persecute. There's certain things that he does not do. I'm not playing on my phone, which there was no phones, but I believe if he was here today, that's what he would be telling us. I'm not surfing the web. I'm not on social media. I don't listen to any kind of music. But the best protein for this race is fasting, praying, and reading God's word. There's exercise. You know, if God would really have a foot race, and the better we run, the better our dwelling in glory, we would get into this thing. We would do some exercises. All of us would. Well, there is a race. Are we exercising? What are we exercising in? What are we exercising in? I watch my diet. There's certain things that I do, and there's certain things I don't do. There's certain things I eat, and there's certain things I don't eat. How is it? How is it with us? Are we on a good diet? Going as light as possible. Not always having the latest gadgets, but the necessities. And I'm not saying that we can't have things for our children. And I'm not saying that we can't have things. But we have houses full of things. And sometimes they hinder us. And again, knowing the road. God shows us the road in His Word. Do we know the road? Do we know Him? That I might know Him? Do we know the road? There is a prize. We heard of the great riches that He has in store for us. There's a prize. And it's worth going for. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Do we know the way? I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Are we pressing towards the mark? If we are not purposing to do and not do certain things because we want to hit the mark, we won't hit the mark. Hitting the mark, by just not caring, you're not going to hit the mark. It is going to be it's an all-out war that we're in. And if we're not engaged in this all-out war, and if we're not racing this race that is before us with everything that is within us, and we're not pressing towards the mark of the high calling, we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. I had said earlier about the race, if it would depend on how I run, to what kind of dwelling I have in eternity, we would run differently. But do you know that that is the message of 1 Corinthians 3? We are building, and what we use to build today is what we have when we get there. There's no dwelling going to be built when we get there. You and I choose today what kind of dwelling we live when we get there. That's sobering. What kind of dwelling will you and I have? What kind of dwelling will we have? Was this pressing just for Paul, maybe? I'm going to finish up here shortly. Verse 17 of chapter 3 of Philippians, it says, Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. So it's not just for him. It says, follow me. That he's writing to the church in Philippians, and we say that the Bible's wrote for us. So he's talking to us. Follow Christ. Press on. And I just wanted this student to be encouragement. I don't want to be hard on anyone. But we live in perilous times like we've heard. Perilous times. Many are losing their way. May we be found faithful. May we be pressing on. It's going to be worth it, like we heard. The riches of his glory are unspeakable. They're we can't imagine them. And just in closing, we have the high calling that is up here. And we have, we could do many, many things, my ideas, or whatever it is. And we're over here. And we're aiming. And then we're just a little short. We're just a little short. It doesn't look like we're off far, but we're not going to hit the mark. So I just want to encourage us to let's not aim for anything less than this. Anything less than that. If we aim for anything less than that, we won't hit it. There's some that are, if we aim for this, God will help us get it too. His promises are faithful. He is faithful to the promises that he has. There's nothing, he is very faithful with his promises. He is faithful. But if we're shooting low, we're not going to hit the mark. It might just be a wrinkle, or it might just be a spot, or it might just be a blemish, but it's not going to make it. That's not the kind of church that Jesus is coming back for, a pure and a spotless one. So I just want to encourage us, as we heard this morning, there's a possession, and right after that, the riches of his glory, and right after that he says, wherefore we faint not. Let's not faint. Let's go for it. It is worth everything that we can put into it. Someone has said, there's one thing, I'm not going to be able to quote it. I wish, if there's one thing I wish, is that I have, I'm getting it all mixed up. But anyway, we only have one life to live. There's nothing that we can give to God but our life. May we give him all of our life. This is what I was trying to say, I guess. So, God bless you.